Hi, hello again, friends, and welcome into another edition of Racing Refresh Happy Hour, episode 62. This one titled "Thrice is Nice." I'm Logan Loganity Morris, or whatever's left of him. And look, we are. It's time to wrap it up. Can you believe it? This is scheduled, believe it or not. As my dog says hello, this is scheduled to be our last episode of the season. That is just hard to believe. Luckily, I'm not doing it alone. Let's bring in the show creator himself, Mr. Adam Canadian Cackles himself, Carabine. Can you believe it? Can you believe we are? This is scheduled again. Something could happen. Things could change, but this is scheduled to be our last podcast, our last episode of the year.
I know. Yeah, it's it feels crazy. I can't believe we have already made it through another season. Like, I can't believe the season is over. It's kind of sad. I'm excited just for next year already, getting things rolling for 2025. But yeah, I feel like this last few months of the season went by very quickly. So
it did. It felt like the playoffs absolutely flew in my estimation. This final 10 weeks. Really amazing how time goes. Ryan Hill tuning in. He's the happiest man on God's earth, potentially. He said, "Hey guys, it's a wonderful Monday." Is it Ryan? Is it really?
Matter of opinion, but
depending on who you ask. I mean, for William Byron, Tyler Reddick, and Ryan Blaney, it's not necessarily a wonderful Monday. No. I suppose that Blaney's having the best Monday out of the trio I just listed, because at least he's on the winning team. And I know Penske is a very team oriented organization, but I'm sure his ass is still a little chapped, if we're being quite frank about it.
Yeah. Would you rather finish second like that, the way Blaney did? Like, it seemed like Blaney had the faster car, but tough to pass Logano, especially at a track like Phoenix. Is that easier to swallow, just like knowing that you were right there, or finishing like sixth like Reddick did?
I think finishing sixth in this case, in the last race of the year, I think that's the easiest. I think what Ryan Blaney went through, especially when you know that you are the quicker car, that is a bitter pill. That's one of those like horse pills, antibiotics they give you when you get something awful. Ryan says he hadn't stopped smiling, and frankly, that's just, that's just disgusting, if we're being frank. All right, let's get into it. How about we do our little weekend review?
Let's do it. Here we go.
All right, let's talk in full about it. That's right, Ryan. Wait for this, buddy. Joey Logano is a 3-time NASCAR Cup Series champion. Now, there's something I want to address right off the top. I said he wouldn't win another in this format, and that means that I was wrong. Sorry, that's hard to say. It's just so rare. So that means I was wrong about that. He in fact did win another championship, and I'm not going to make another claim like that again for the rest of my year. Because Joey Logano, we're going to break it down about how everybody feels about him being champion. But let's be honest. He's got the clutch gene. He's got the clutch gene in a big way. Is he the most clutch driver in NASCAR right now?
I don't know. It's hard to say that he is the most clutch, but he's definitely like figured out this system the best, I guess. Oh, sorry. Ryan would like you to say it one more time. Tell us, Logan, what was it you said?
Ryan, I was wrong. I was wrong, buddy. I was way wrong. I was all the way wrong. I was 2 + 2 = bowling shoe wrong. I mean, it was wrong. Sorry, bud. You were right.
Ryan, I'm sure you know this, but for some of our other viewers, that's very rare. It's a rare thing to see that. We should clip that and just keep playing it over and over. It's nice. Yeah, as far as whether Logano is Mr. Clutch, I guess kind of. Yeah, I don't know. My heart is saying no, but I'm having a tough time coming up with any, reasons why, other than I just almost don't want to admit it.
Your mind is telling you no, but your body.
Yeah.
Your body.
It's telling me yes. I don't know. Is he clutch or is he just like, has he figured out the way this playoff system works? I don't know. I'm talking myself in and out of it at the same time. It's a hard playoff system, you know, like you can point to the fact that he is the driver that's got the worst average finish of any champion ever. But does he race differently if the format's a little different, right? And even just this idea of like, oh, he didn't really have to worry about these last, you know, two races before Phoenix, the Homestead and Martinsville, because he won at Vegas. But he won at Vegas, you know, that's something difficult to do. Anytime you win, it's good, right? It's a difficult thing to pull off. And so I don't know. I think, I'm having trouble saying that he's not Mr. Clutch.
In my estimation, he absolutely is. Matt Marr says, all I'm going to say is Logano's very thankful Bowman getting DQ'd at the row. Yeah, that does kind of paint a cloud. Frankly, this year has more clouds over it than ever with the Christopher Bell decision, too. Right. Things don't feel as organic. Now, hey, rules are rules, and if you break them, you know, you should be punished to the fullest extent of the rule book. But we're going to talk about that. But for now, I want to heap more of his praises. Look, there's something to enjoy Logano and that entire Team Penske team, really. But certainly in the 22 camp, they know when to turn it on. Now, is it always successful? No, it wasn't successful last year, but it's been successful two out of the last three. And the only one they're missing was another Penske championship. So that's three in a row for the oh captain, my captain. And that's pretty incredible. We saw it. This was Ryan Blaney's race to lose, and he got out-dueled at the OK Corral. I mean, flat out. We saw the first move by, I'm just going to say it, Big Ball Paul, when he brought him down pit road early. And, I mean, that was a big-time move that really set the tone. And then the pit crew came through, and keep in mind they had a different jackman because their jackman was feeling not well for whatever reason that may have been. We didn't kind of get all the details on that. Mm-hmm. Clutch. This whole team is clutch. They proved beyond a shadow of a doubt they're a championship-winning team. Now, we can talk about the asterisk that goes with it because of Bowman. We can talk about the finish, and we certainly will, the average finish, I mean. But for this first little bit, I got to give nothing but props. They absolutely put on a clinic of what it means to be a champion in this sport. What did you make of the decision to go down pit road? What did you make of the adversity they faced on pit road with their pit crew?
Yeah, I did look a little into this. The jackman, at least the jackman that they took from Austin Cindric's team. He's a veteran guy as well, so. As much as at first I was like, oh, this could be a real game changer for Logano. Like if he doesn't have his regular team working together, like could this be the end of his championship run there? This jackman's been around the block. He knows what he's doing. And because Penske, just as a team in general, they all practice the same choreography for their pit stops, like for each of their three cars, it was not a huge ask for this guy to step in and do this. So luckily that didn't bite Logano in the butt, and worked out for him in the end. The pit stop call, I mean, yeah, it's gutsy, and it's easy to look back now and say, well, it was the right call and good job. Yeah, I mean, but I think you have to, in a championship race, in a one race format where you get, you know, winner takes all basically, or I guess best of the best wins, you know, you don't get three races to pad your points up or anything. It's literally just one race. That's all you got. And it was close. I mean, at a certain point we were running 2, 3, 4, 5 with all four of the championship four drivers. Right. So there was not a lot separating them, and you got to just be the one who tries something a little different. You call Logano down early. I thought it was a little bit early, even just like on fuel wise, but who also is better than Logano at managing fuel, as he's proven, you know, I think two or three times already this year. So yeah, it's a gutsy call, and it worked. So it's easy to say, great job. I don't know if I would have made that call, but who am I to, you know, who am I to say what's right or wrong?
Freddie Bannister tuning in. He says, howdy, fellas. Howdy, Freddie. We love you. We appreciate you. One more for the road, my friend. We don't believe we'll be live again this year, but you never say never in this.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. But probably not.
But so let's talk about it. Let's get the elephant out of the room here because, all right, now it's happened. I said if it would happen, there'd be an asterisk by it. It did happen. He is the champion. He got in via a DQ from Alex Bowman. And keep in mind, the DQ really saved his keister because, frankly, Alex Bowman could have finished like 23rd and probably got in at the Royal.
Yeah.
So now that it's happened, now that we've had a little over 24 hours to marinate on it like a nice seasoned chicken breast, how do you feel about it? Does it have an asterisk in any mind to you at all?
I don't think so. I understand why some might feel that way, but I think I'm okay with it. I'm at peace with it. Logano's not my favorite driver, so I'm not rooting for him in any way. Obviously, Ryan is going to say no. But I don't know. Yeah, I think the format is the format, and Alex Bowman's car was illegal at the Roval. This is not some weird manipulation on NASCAR's part that they just didn't, they wanted Logano in or something like that. I'm not putting the tinfoil hat on with that sort of stuff. Was he lucky that the way it worked out was that he got to continue on in the playoffs? Yeah, he was lucky, but he was better than Alex Bowman that day because his car was legal, right? He won 3 of the last 10 races, best driver in the playoffs when he needed to be, according to Ryan.
That's a fair statement.
Honestly, and you can look back at Ryan Blaney last year, kind of a similar story, really. This is a new record for worst average finish for a champion, and the record was set last year again by Ryan Blaney. So it's 2 in a row that have been, the consistency over the course of an entire season maybe wasn't there, but all you got to do is you got to make it to that, round of 16, and you can pretty much restart your entire season there, right? Freddie says, I give Joey this much credit. He did wheel it past this past weekend, raced his teammate clean, and is now a 3-time champ. Yeah. It was nice to see a clean finish to the race, while there was a little tiny part of me that was maybe yelling at the TV that Blaney should put the bumper on Logano. It's just for the story it would have been, but I don't know. Yeah. I think, there was definitely respect there. And also you don't, as Ryan Blaney, as a teammate, a Penske teammate, you don't want to take Logano out and possibly yourself out too. And then there goes William Byron swinging by and winning the championship from underneath you guys. Right. So.
Yeah. Look, I personally think that, now that it's happened, I mean, yeah, we'll always talk about, well, he wouldn't have got in, but he did, he came through during the time you have to come through, right? So let me ask you this and take me off screen for just a moment so I can let this dog out of this room, if I'm being honest with you.
Sure.
Where do you put now Joey Logano in the list of the greats? He's a 3-time champion. That's a very rare feat in this sport. Break that down for us. Where does this put him in your kind of echelon?
All right. You go deal with your dog. I'll see what I can come up with here. Yeah. Three championships is certainly rarefied air. There's only he's now the 10th driver to have 3 or more championships, and we talked about this last week. I think I went through the list of other people. The list of people who have 3 or more championships is Hall of Fame, Hall of Fame, Hall of Fame all the way across. You got the best of the best, and I don't know. You can maybe look at Logano as being one of the, this almost feels rude to say, but like maybe one of the weaker links amongst that group, just because of the way the format, makes it a little, you can have a less consistent season, I'll bring Logan back here. You can have a less consistent season and win the championship, but at the end of the day, you gotta put up or shut up at the right moments, and that's what Logano did. Freddie says, how many career wins does Joey Logano have? He has 36. This was his 36th at Phoenix there. So,
and Ryan has the comment, you just had to win one race in the regular season, yeah, and finish last of a race to the playoffs and then turn it on. That's the system we have now. So that's a great question, Ryan. I know you didn't ask a question there, but that leads me to a great question. Doesn't that point out a flaw in the system? I'm not saying you're wrong. That, like, yeah, that's the system. So you play that sucker like the prettiest violin you ever had. Don't get me wrong. That's fine. I'm not mad at that. But doesn't that prove, in your estimation, maybe it doesn't, tell me why, doesn't that prove there's a flaw in the system?
It might, you know. And I don't think that this, you know, what's the word? I don't think that Joey Logano winning this under these circumstances and possibly exposing a flaw in the system should mean that his championship counts for less. I think you prepare through the season based on what the format is, and he did the best out of anyone to maximize his finishes and, you know, all of that just to win the championship. I feel like there's no asterisk there, but also, should there maybe be a tweak in the system? Perhaps, yeah. Again, I think I said this last week. I don't know if I have an answer for what it should be instead. You know, that's going to be something I'm going to think about this offseason. Is like, what sort of other thing could we do here that would really, you know, reward the best driver of the season? I think if we were rewarding the best driver of the season, or at least the best, you know, the best of the playoffs, it should have maybe been Christopher Bell's championship this year. You know, sure, he had an amazing playoff run, and, you know, unfortunately after Martinsville, all that, the shenanigans there, it wasn't meant to be this year. But I don't know. Yeah. Do you have any ideas of like what you would do differently?
No, that's, you know, and I know that makes me awful, because I'm a strong believer, as you know, if you ain't got solutions, don't complain about it. Because I don't really want to see the playoffs go away, because I think I like the fact that we walk into a last race or a last set of races with uncertainty. Freddie wants to know, do we think that Joey will get to 50 wins or at least close to it? I do think he'll get to 50 wins. It really depends on how much longer Joey Logano wants to drive. Because he's still a relatively young guy, which is hard to believe. I know he's been around since the dawn of time.
He's only 34.
Yeah, he's still a only. So again, he could easily, if he so desires, he could easily race another 10 years, if not another 15. Now, drivers are lately retiring earlier than they used to, so maybe that doesn't happen. Maybe his priorities are different.
I don't know. I think as long as he's still competitive, I think he'll be around.
So, well, because I just say that because it wasn't that long ago where drivers were driving to the early 50s, but lately that hasn't quite been the common denominator. People are kind of quitting a little sooner for whatever reason that may be. Obviously, it's a grind of a season. We know that.
Well, Martin Truex Jr. is 44, and he's like hanging it up.
He looks 54, but that's all right.
It's just a silver fox. Don't dog on my guy, Martin.
No, I'm not. No, I'm just saying he could. No, I'm not dogging on him. I'm just saying a haircut and a nice trim might do him a good job.
I like it the way it is. Don't listen to him. Don't listen to Logan.
I hope Martin is listening. Yeah, we all know the system. Absolutely. So, race, you're 100% right. Look, yeah. I can make an argument for and against this system. The reality is, if you sneak in as a – if you go 17-0 in football and you lose the first playoff game, even if you were the best team all year long, sorry, you lost the first playoff game, you're not winning the Super Bowl, so you really didn't do jack with the side of squad other than have a great regular season. That's the way it goes. At the same time – because people go, but nobody complains about football. Well, football hasn't undergone nearly as radical of point changes and playoff changes as NASCAR has. We all can decide. We now decide our champion in an entirely different way than we did for decades. NASCAR is the only major sport, to my knowledge, correct me if I'm wrong, that has that distinction. Now, there's been changes to every sport, don't get me wrong, but they have completely turned it on its head compared to, you know, let's say 25, 30 years ago, and certainly going back further than that. So yeah, that's where this debate comes in. And I don't know. I'm not trying to discredit Logano's win or champion. I'd have the conversation no matter who it was. I had it with Ryan Blaney last year. So it isn't like a disdain for Joey Logano. Frankly, I should be thrilled with him. He just won me dinner with you on Monday, Ryan. Looking forward to that.
Well, yeah, I don't know if I agree with this, Ryan. I do think we'd still be debating this if it was an Hendrick Motorsports driver. At least I would be.
And I think you can know that I would be too, because, again, I did it with Ryan Blaney, who we all know I don't have any qualms with by any stretch. I think it's just a – you know, I don't know. My inquisitive mind goes, well, does that count? Does that look as good as such and such? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm an inquisitive fellow. Inquiry minds want to know. I'm a bright, bright young man. Freddie says he thinks playoff racing needs to go and the old system needs to come back or something similar. Well, Steve O'Donnell made clear playoffs aren't going anywhere. He made that. I mean, he made that pretty cut and dry at the kind of the state of the sport address, the kind of NASCAR state of the union that they usually have prior to the championship race. And let's touch on that before we move it along. I know we got other things we got to cover, but this is a good conversation. I think we got it flowing. So let's touch on that. What'd you think of that? Did Steve O'Donnell come out? I mean, he, you know, full stop, end quote, they're not going anywhere.
I think NASCAR's in an awkward position right now, just with the lawsuit whole thing, you know, and there's just some tension. There's some tension brewing amongst NASCAR versus the teams, or at least versus 2311 and Front Row. And of course, I mean, I think every year there's a little spin involved. You know, they come out and say everything's as best as it's ever been, and you know, viewership is up, and that's not wrong. You know, those things are great. I don't think I disagree. I don't think that the playoffs should go completely, but he also didn't rule out that there would be tweaks to the format, right? So he just said the playoffs are here to stay, but he didn't say that this particular version of the playoffs is here to stay forever. It's, you know, it's certainly a debate they're going to have. And this is something I have applauded NASCAR for many times, is that I like the fact that they're willing to take feedback and change things as it goes. You know, not a lot of sports do that, and there is maybe some more tradition with other sports where it's like, well, this is the way it's always been done and that's the way it's going to stay and deal with it. But you know, something like the short track package has left a lot to be desired. And the fans have made it known. They thought, you know, that Martinsville race a couple years ago in the spring, I think, was like just the most boring thing in the entire world. And NASCAR has taken steps since then to try and change the package a little bit and try, you know, the new softer tire, they're always trying to improve the product. So I will give them props for that. And I don't think this is any different. I think they'll allow the dust to settle on this season. They'll look at all the scenarios and, you know, someone maybe smarter than me will come up with a tweak to the system that maybe we might try next year and see what happens.
We shall see. Ryan makes the point that he's a Pats fan. He watched his team go 16-0 and lose to a wild card Giants team in the Super Bowl. That's right. Eli Manning, 2-time Super Bowl champion, future Hall of Famer, folks.
But yes, so my question for you, Ryan, if you're still there, did you feel at the end of that the system needed tweaking, or was that just, well, that's the way it goes. This is the game we all play, and we all know it coming in, and unfortunate. Yeah, obviously it's got to be heartbreaking as a Pats fan, but did you feel like, oh, we need some wholesale change on the way the football playoffs work, or the NFL football playoffs work? Like, I don't know. I don't know if there were people saying that at the time other than just like, wow, this is unbelievable. You know, a near perfect season gets ruined.
Yeah, it just crumbles, turns to dust. While he's figuring that out, if he's still around, look, I think that to be fair, we should acknowledge the fact that NASCAR fans are going to complain always. For sure. We're going to find something to complain about. That's the way it works. But I'll tell you what, a lady that probably has some complaints after yesterday. Let's bring her in. She frankly, folks, she's in mourning. I got the saddest picture I've ever gotten from her yesterday. I passed it along to some friends. Adam, you're one of them.
I saw it. Yeah.
And she was struggling, boys. Let's bring her in. My better half and Ryan Blaney's biggest heartbroken fan at the moment. Producer Peggy, come on in here.
I don't have much to say. Other than I'm completely heartbroken and devastated. And, well, frankly, Joey Logano shouldn't have been there in the first place.
Atta girl. Look at that. Oh my God. Ryan, do you get that heat, brother?
Look, I'm sorry, Ryan, but...
She ain't sorry. She ain't sorry. I don't listen to the vidgets.
I didn't feel that way until yesterday.
Yeah. So does it bet you?
He's not wrong. It was a great race between the Penske guys. It was an exciting finish. And Freddie's consoling you too. He says Blaney still had 3 race wins this year. Still a great year.
No, Peter, damn it. Tell Ryan to go to hell. Joey Logano shouldn't have been in there. Come on. Tell him now. Give him the old go to hell. Come on.
I'm not going to do that, but.
Want to give him the middle finger like I do every day?
Now, do I really think Joey Logano should be there? Yeah, like the rules are the rules, but it just hurts.
Those rules are stupid, aren't they?
Mm-hmm. Ryan did add this. You can tweak it for sure. I want the final round to be 3 races long, but for now, this is the system and Logano is dominating it.
He is dominating. So, look, she's a kinder woman than I am, that's for sure. I'm not a woman, number one, not that kind. Secondly, but Ryan, I was hoping she would tell you to go to hell and give you the finger. And it's a pretty finger because she's got her nails always done. So, all right, let's talk about the fact. And producer Peggy, I want you to stay on for this. I want you to stay on for this. Does Joey Logano get another championship in his career?
Yes.
Adam Carabine, does he get another championship in his career?
I think he's got 2 more in him. I'm going to say he gets up to 5.
Gets up to 5. Boy, if he's up to 5, that's going to put him in a certain conversation with some people.
I know.
I mean, a very select class. Ones of only supermen and people that wear hat and shades and intimidators.
Yeah. Well, not quite. He's not up to 7. I don't think he'll get 7.
Yeah, I don't think he'll get 7, but I could see 5.
But if he gets 5 in this system, if it stays as it is, wouldn't that put him in the GOAT debate? I mean, he would surpass Kyle Busch.
He already has.
Is that what producer Faye says?
I don't think that's as clear. I mean, we're talking about what, 36 wins versus how many has Kyle Busch got, Adam?
Off the top of my head, let's see.
I just meant as far as
63 right now. Exactly. 63 for Kyle Busch.
And so I don't know. Like, does this third championship move him firmly past Kyle Busch in the kind of this generation's GOAT debate?
I think so.
I'm less on that boat just yet. I think he needs some more wins. I don't know if he needs to pass Kyle Busch in wins because he does have a third championship, but I think Logano's certainly got more years left than Kyle Busch does, and so that remains to be seen. I think there's a chance that Logano could take over Kyle Busch as far as, you know, GOAT territory, at least current GOATs, I'm not there yet.
Because until, let's say, right now or so, first of all, he ain't getting 7, Ryan. Sit down. He ain't getting 7. And even if he gets 7, there's another stat he's not going to quite be up there.
There's almost a part of me, and I'm not a Logano guy. There's a part of me that would love for Logano to get 8 just for the chaos.
look, I just... Adam, I'm not going to tell you what I want to say to you right here live on the air. I'll text it to you later.
All right.
But let me ask this. Producer Peggy, you have, and then we'll let you go. You predicted last year, or the start of this year, pardon me, that Ryan Blaney was going back-to-back, and he came a cat hair within doing it. Very, very close. Very, very close. I want to know, Turley, I know you're mourning. I get it. Yeah, I know you're grieving. Do you have any predictions for 2025?
Well, I feel like at this point it would be redundant of me to say Ryan Blaney will do it in 26.
Well, so, right, I'm not asking about 26. I'm asking about 25.
Oh, I thought it was 25. I meant 25.
Shoot, I hope I'm alive in 26. It's a little while now.
Maybe he can do it in 25 and 26. But I feel in my heart, ever since he did it last year, that he's in the conversation every year.
All right. So, you're gonna hold serve on making any true predictions for now. We'll save that for the first episode of the year next year.
I want to say he will, but I feel like people won't take me seriously.
I got you. All right. All right. Mm-hmm. We'll see what happens. Ryan, I see your digs. Was Ryan standing? Which Ryan? Ryan Blaney? Ryan Hill? Ryan Hill called me right after. It was a beautiful moment. He was sitting, I think, because he didn't want to offend me. He could pass Bush. And win. Again, it really comes down to how long does Logano want to do this? If he goes as far as guys like, I mean, at this point, you can kind of say Jimmy Johnson, that the sky's the limit for how far he could go.
I realistically could see him at least for another 10 years around. And if he's doing 3 to 4 races a season, if he maintains that pace, then he could pass Kyle Busch. So it's a possibility. We're throwing this one up here just for fun. There was no competition when the king was doing all his winning.
Well, and that's kind of an overblown narrative, really. It's kind of an overblown narrative.
Well,
if you look at it, he faced a lot of Hall of Famers.
Yeah. And we will say this, he wasn't winning championships with a 17 plus average finish. So
hell, he was lapping 17 cars.
Okay, we know Logano is out next year. It's an odd year. Yes.
and Truex is not here for the odd year in 2020, at least full time. And so who's going to get the baton?
I don't know.
All right. Do we want to talk Xfinity and trucks, or want to go on to Happy Hour headlines?
I feel like we should mention, you know, a little bit here. The Xfinity race was fantastic. It was probably the best race of the weekend as far as entertainment value. Justin Allgaier getting the win.
It's a big moment
for the championship, you know, 14 years of trying, if you will. And just like what a gutsy performance just all night for that 17. I know Riley Herbst won the race, so, you know, good for Riley Herbst. It's, you know, nice to see him win, but it was really all about Allgaier. It was all about Allgaier. There you go. That could have been a good episode name too. But just multiple penalties, you know, speeding on pit road while serving your previous penalty, like that usually should be basically disqualifying you from winning a race or winning a championship, but he somehow came back, and it was you know, I was almost worried that there was something in his car that was like you know, they were going to fail inspection or something, but no, he passed it. It was good. And it's someone like Allgaier. It's nice just to see him get a championship. He's a good dude. So,
Look, I agree. I absolutely agree. It's cool to see Allgaier get his big moment. Junior Motorsports gets a big moment. We all love June Bug, every single one of us.
Yep.
It's kind of a thing. Ryan says he was pulling for Custer, and of course you love Cole Custer, Stone Cold Custer. He wanted Ford to sweep the championships again this year.
That mustache, though.
Oof. Well, that is You talk about a foo, man, it's you.
Oh,
man.
That was some stanky facial hair going on there, Cold Buster.
Producer Peggy, we'll let you get back to producing, and I know you got some things you're working on behind the scenes. So we'll bring in some first and final words here in a few minutes, okay? All righty. And no, that's a big league stash right there. I mean, Hulk Hogan would be proud. I mean, Hulk Hogan would be proud. Look at that. I mean, just all sorts of, man.
I don't know.
I mean, if I don't want to make you go get some custard right there, that mustache.
There's something about it that just kind of freaks me out.
It's not the best look. AJ says he's happy for Auto Club, winners of NASCAR and the NHRA World Championships. Of course, the NHRA down in Pomona this weekend, closing out the year. Pomona, yeah. We're just getting down to it. Motorsports is coming to a kind of a halt, and that's sad, isn't it? Kind of sad.
There you go.
Oh yeah, look at that. That is. I mean, you talk about 10 ton of sex appeal right there.
Oh my gosh, that is something else.
Good for him. He representing Stuart Haas, though. Of course, the end of an era this weekend. Stuart Haas shutting down as a whole, and so that's, and Riley Herbst wins the final.
Xfinity, yeah, that was nice to see just for
Stuart Haas.
Mm-hmm. Should we touch on the truck absolutely race as well? Yeah,
we have to, or else Ryan's going to hurt us, because you know who else he likes? He likes Ty Majeski, and Ty Majeski gets himself a championship. Oh yeah, Ryan Hill, he's got
two. Ryan gets two. Okay, congratulations, Ryan, on your two championships. If you want to talk about undeserving, I don't think you did much there, Ryan, but you know, congratulations to you.
I don't think Ryan does much, period, but that's all right.
Pomona.
Learn how to pronounce well and then judge me.
Yeah. Well.
I love you, AJ. You know, and not everything's perfect out of these dulcet tones, but it all sounds good, so it doesn't have to be.
Yeah.
No, great for Ty Majeski to get it done. Look, again, maybe a flaw in the system because, and again, deserving champion, let me make that clear, but this was Corey Heim's year, wasn't it? Obviously, he'll be back at Tricon Garage next year. They announced that a few days ago. So, I mean, he'll get another crack at it.
Were you surprised by that? Were you surprised he's not moving up to Xfinity?
Yeah, I just don't think there's a lot of room right now. It's kind of a logjam. And so, because frankly, you can make an argument that maybe he deserves a cup ride just based on the fact of his truck dominance. I just don't think there's a ton of room. And so, obviously, that comes down to sponsors and some things. And maybe it's also, you don't want to rush his development, because he seems like a blue chip prospect. Now, granted, he always looks like he's having both the best and worst day of his life. he just doesn't ever look thrilled as that young man. Ryan, for God's sake, it was Corey Heim's year. It echoed through the chambers of history. It's not that they didn't deserve. Ty Majeski and Joey Logano did deserve the championship. Full stop, period. Put the end of the sentence right there. But all can aside, you can make a lot of arguments in Cup. I can say for a fact that Corey Heim had the best truck season. He did.
It's true.
He did. I don't care even what the numbers tell me, because you want to know what tells me he did? The eye test. And the eye test was most weeks he was spanking the field. I was like, is that Corey Heim or is that Kyle Busch? Let me know.
I will say this. Christian Eckes had the best average finish in the truck series.
Thing, Adam. Numbers aren't everything. Sometimes it's, boy, how does that look?
I mean, Corey Heim was second, so they were close, both of them. But they're both ridiculously good. Christian Eckes finished 5.39 and Corey Heim 7.17. So both great, but
none of them are Ty Majeski. That's what I just heard.
Yeah. And honestly, I mean, can say about say what you want about you know how they all get to the championship four, but it's nice to see when like Ty Majeski definitely had the best truck in that race. You know, like it's nice when the one with who is the fastest wins the race, because it's nice just to reward that hard work for the team too, right? So
yeah, absolutely. Is there any doubt that Corey Heim is the early, very early, way too early championship favorite for next year?
Oh, he's got to be. I'm not sure.
He's got to be.
Who would challenge him for that right now? Christian Eckes, I guess. But
all right. With that, look, I think it's time we move on to our happy hour headlines.
It's a beautiful thing.
Unfortunately, we have to start off with some bad news, some sad news. Bobby Allison passed away Saturday, and what an icon and a legend he was, member of the Alabama Gang, of course, and sadly just was awarded that win for Bowen Gray, although I can't remember what year it was now. Was it 72 they awarded that win from? And just absolutely, yeah, 4 stars. And so just heartbreaking news. Yeah. Obviously he was 86. Nobody lives forever. I get that, but
I'm glad that NASCAR did him right and fixed that win for him before he passed. So at least he got to see that. It's a sad loss, but also, you know, 86 is a good life lived. And, Bobby Allison, someone who dealt with a lot of pain through his life and, you know, dealing with the loss of many of his loved ones.
Yes. No, he was a testament of the human spirit. A lot of those guys from that era are, because I don't know, they just come from that. They watch their fathers just go through everything with the depression, you know, the Great Depression. And so I think it was just, they just carried on. They just carried on relentlessly. And it's just, it's sad that, you know, we're losing more and more from that era. I know I never saw them race, and I get that, but it's just sad to see kind of a breed dying out. We lost, you know, Carroll Yarborough a while back, and now Bobby Allison, and it just, you know, I'm heartbroken for the people like Red Farmer, who is still here in his mid-90s, and grief is hard on anybody at any age, but I really worry about the old folks that grieve a loss like this. Like I said, Red Farmer comes to mind. You know, people like Richard Petty comes to mind, because that's more and more of his contemporaries that are leaving this earth. And that's just difficult. And so what a legend he was. Yes. Just had the win awarded to him for Bowman Gray. You know, and I can never be surprised when an 86-year-old man passes away, but I got to tell you, we saw the promotional photos from him getting awarded the win. He didn't look like a guy that only had a couple weeks, to be quite frank with you. You can go at any time, I get that, but I mean, he did not look like a guy that was on his deathbed to me. Mm-hmm. And so just heartbreaking and a shame that he won't be here anymore and here to take part in, you know, I'm sure they're going to have a lot of festivities at Bowman Gray for him, and they would have probably anyway, but now it'll be a huge deal, 83 days into the clash if you're counting. But just a very, very sad, sad, heartbreaking piece of news. He's one of those guys, as I was talking to AJ privately, and he said he's one of those guys that's going to live forever, and he will. Mm-hmm. And so just heartbreaking. We, of course, send our condolences to any of his fans or anybody that's just struggling with the loss. So, of course, his friends and family. You know, again, nobody lives forever. I get that. It's just sad to see an era kind of slowly dying out. And that just, I mean, there's no other way to say it, but that's just so disheartening. Mm-hmm. All right. On a more positive note, but some controversy about Christopher Bell had some harsh words before the final race. Adam.
Yeah.
Christopher Bell speaking out.
In his kind of pre-race press conference he had, he was fired up, and I kind of don't blame him. You know, he,
a little bit of that none too pleased.
Yeah, and I was just curious kind of what your take was on what he said. I will recap for you. But basically his argument was, first of all, he said he was cheated out of the championship four. He feels cheated, and he feels like his move that was deemed, you know, a safety violation sure, we can argue that absolutely it was. That's not the issue here. What his point was that he was put in that situation where he ended up making a mistake on the final corner because of the way the Chevrolets were blocking for William Byron and manipulating the race, essentially, trying to get William Byron into that final four. And if they hadn't broken those rules, he wouldn't have been in that desperate position, and he would have been able to make up some ground on Byron, and he would have been the final driver in that championship four. What do you think? Is that a fair argument?
You know, I think it is a fair argument, but I'll tell you what, even whether I disagree with it or not, or agree with it or not, and I've told you this in other aspects of my life, I like when someone brings it, when they have, mm-hmm. when they bring some candor, and Christopher Bell brought some candor and some honesty. And hey, if you feel like you got screwed, scream it from the hilltops. That's my personal belief.
He was naming names. He full out said when the Chevrolets manipulated the race, that put me in this position. Like, that is, you don't see that a lot. That's, you know, that I feel like there's ways where they can, you know, there's another way where you can express this sort of frustration and just say, oh, based on what else was happening in the race, this was frustrating for me. But he came guns a-blazing, and I gotta say, I like that too.
Yeah, I like the, like I said, whether I, and I do agree with it, but I wouldn't, it wouldn't matter to me if I disagree with it, because I just like the candor. I find it refreshing. I hate piped in, you know, mm-hmm. beat around the bush answers. This might upset somebody. I hate that. I just do. I think that's so, I mean, I understand people got to do what they got to do for their PR, but I don't know. I feel like when a reporter asks you a question, and as somebody humbly that has had the chance to ask a couple questions in a couple different press conferences in various sports, like, I don't know, we work hard to come up with those questions, and it's a nerve-wracking moment, to be quite frank with you. Give me a real answer. Mm-hmm. And so I love that he gave a real, authentic answer. And whether you agree with him, don't agree with him, that don't mean jack to me. I like that he called it like he sees it, and that is refreshing. And NASCAR needs more of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, again, and it wasn't like it wasn't that he was disrespectful in the way he said it either. He was just candid. Mm-hmm. He wasn't full of himself. It wasn't.
There you go. Yeah. It could have gone better.
Yeah. Well, you know,
it's true. Yeah.
If you just feel like you're getting the shaft, that's the way it goes. And so I appreciate the fact that he was candid. He was forthright. He wasn't rude. He wasn't braggadocious. He rode the lightning bolt, I thought, perfectly between come on what you come on, but also not being an ass about it.
Well, and it felt authentic too. Yeah. It didn't feel like he was doing it for the sound bites or for clicks or anything like that. This was a genuine frustration he felt, and it came out, I thought, with some tact, but also calling out some names a little bit.
Yeah, well. That's right. So, that's right. Yeah. Look, gotta come on, we can't be, pussyfooting all the time here. We gotta say it. Mm-hmm. FedEx is leaving the sport after 20 seasons with Denny Hamlin. Of course, they started back with Jason Leffler the year before. So again, you know, I'm no longer surprised at these things, because when Jimmy Johnson lost Lowe's, that told me, wow, it's just, this model, this world is changing. But it is. It's always sad to see one of the few season-long kind of lifer sponsors go, and unfortunately we're seeing that more and more. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, so for me, as someone who is, you know, only really just gotten into NASCAR in the last 5-6 years, I'm not used to the kind of legacy, quote, no winking there, but the legacy sponsorships that are just like the exact same paint scheme for the entire season. I think there is something to be said for that. I like the idea, for even for myself as a newer fan, sometimes when I was trying to keep up with who was who on the track, and they're having different paint schemes each week and it's different colors, and I'm like, I can't keep track of who is who, and I can't follow my favorite driver. I don't know where he is. There is something to be said for like marketability of your driver if they have the same paint scheme, and with that comes the same sponsor, and with that also comes a real big price tag for that sponsor. And I guess at a certain point, they have determined that it is not worth the money they're putting into it, right? They're not getting the returns on that that they feel they should be getting. So it's a shame, but I don't know if there's a solution. I think this is the new era now that we have to get used to, where, you know, Denny Hamlin is driving FedEx one day and then driving Mavis tires the next day, and it's a completely different color scheme, and you just get used to it.
Yeah, it's just a different era. I don't know that that means it never comes back, like the era of the long-term sponsor for most of the year, but right now that's just not where we're at. Who knows where we're at in 5 years, 10 years? Don't have a clue. But right now it's a lot of piecing together, a lot of plug and play if you're trying to fill out those, you know, we say 36 races, but really it's 38. So it's a lot of, like I said, it's a lot of makeshift and piecing it together. And that's a strain on these teams, all of them.
It would be nice if they could keep at least somewhat of a similar color scheme going for the season, just to keep, you know, sometimes, you know, or sometimes, especially with like Joe Gibbs over the last little bit, there's been some weird, like, I feel like the green Interstate Batteries scheme was like such a Kyle Busch thing, but he's gone now. And then like Christopher Bell had it 1 week, and then I think Martin Truex had it 1 week, and it's just like, this is so weird. Like, it feels wrong to be.
You're showing your youth. Bobby Labonte is the Interstate Batteries car.
Okay, right, but you know what I mean. Like, this, you know, it's getting passed around, and it's weird.
Piecing it together is what's got to be done. Carson Hocevar won Rookie of the Year. Great, great season for him, all things considered. I thought he outperformed any realistic expectations this year. I think he's got a bright, bright future. What say you?
Yeah, I was not expecting it to be as much of a blowout for Rookie of the Year as it turned out to be. He was up against Josh Berry and Zane Smith. I didn't think Zane Smith was necessarily in the conversation, but I thought Josh Berry would do a better job. And I don't say that to like completely take down Josh Berry. I think Carson Hocevar, it was a mixture of Carson Hocevar overachieving and Josh Berry at times underachieving. But and producer Peggy in our little chat here saying, yeah, the booth was roasting Hocevar at Martinsville. They were. And I don't know if I completely disagree with what they were saying. Like, he was aggressive and probably pushing people out of the way when he didn't need to. And that'll come with some experience. I don't know if I'm like hating on Carson Hocevar as much as maybe they were that day, but I don't know. Yeah. Props to the kid. You know, he's got talent and rightfully wins Rookie of the Year this year. He ended up winning it by 90. I can't do math. Almost 100 points. 98 points.
He absolutely shellacked the other two. Kind of an honorable mention to Zane Smith. He really come on strong late in the year. The last 10 to 15 races really showed some capabilities. I think he's got a bright future as well. And I think Josh Berry does too. I don't fault Josh Berry. Like, you're going through a lot, team shutting down,
yep,
a lot of inconsistency. You had to find a different job. You're going to the Wood Brothers. AJ coming through and correcting me, because he's a historic savant. Actually, Dale Jarrett drove the 18 Interstate Batteries for several years and won the Daytona 500 well before Bobby Labonte. Well, I was
just about to say that.
I'm a little younger, young man. I'm a little younger, my friend, but that's all right. In some ways, I was so much older then.
Yeah, that's right. Carson Hocevar had a 97-point lead over Josh Berry, and then Josh Berry was an extra 100 points ahead of Zane Smith. Technically, Kaz Grala was in the running for Rookie of the Year, but I don't really know why. You're not running a full-time season. You're not going to compete. So he finished with 203 points, which was another almost 250 points lower than Zane Smith. So,
and again, Zane Smith really came on back half of the year. That first half was a titanic struggle for him.
Yep.
I thought he really showed some poise and some potential in this back half. All right, look, we're winding her down, so it's time for a quick weekend preview. All right, the NHRA has their finals in Pomona, California. How's that, AJ? Got it right that time. Said it just right. It's pretty much going to, in funny car, it's going to be pretty much an Austin Proc coronation. He's pretty much got that thing under lock and key, barring some shenanigans. Some good old-fashioned shenanigans. In Top Fuel, it's much more wide open. I had the chance to cover a press conference for the NHRA today for Top Fuel and Pro Stock. So a story will be coming this week on that. Antoine Brown looking good in the Top Fuel, but he also has Sean Langdon deal with Justin Ashley seeking his first Top Fuel championship in Pro Stock. Greg Anderson looking for another championship. That would be six if he can pull it off. Dallas Glenn looking for the championship. And as is Aaron Stanfield. There's a couple other mathematical possibilities, but those six are kind of the most realistic. Again, anything could happen. You never know. Cattywampus things take place all the time. But the NHRA closes out their 2024 campaign this weekend. And you can have yourself a mighty fine In-N-Out burger as you celebrate what is likely an Austin Proc funny car championship. I know a certain guy in the comments is going to be mighty thrilled about that for no particular reason at all. With that, that's pretty much all we got on the preview slate. Again, motorsports winding down for the year. Don't worry, it ramps back up rather quickly.
Sure does.
We're going to get through the holidays, and the next thing you know, we're thinking Chili Bowl, we're thinking Rolex 24, and then all of a sudden, is that NASCAR I smell? It's coming quickly. 83 days until we hear the legendary Mike Joy again. Can't wait for that. All right, with that, it's time for just a recap of Racing Refresh picks.
Hi, this is why you're racing through the weekend preview. I know why. He wants to get to the final results.
It's because it's an hour show and we got to move.
I know. It was a close battle down to the end. It was between Logan and I. Why don't we bring in producer Peggy here as well, just so she can lament her third place finish on the year. She finished with 70 points. Solid year, Peyton. Oh, look, she's spoiling the final score. Logan picked Logano. There was no beating him. And Logan finishes the year. This is second championship in a row. And speaking of thrice is nice, we'll be looking to repeat in 2025 again.
I'm looking to go thrice. And Peter, I wanted you to have one last point, to be honest with you. If you could have just had one last point, we'd have really been cooking.
That would have been very nice.
Nice.
So there you go. Yes. It was a close finish. Yeah. I mean, I picked
Spreddick. Did it again. I beat both your butts. I won this here game. Well, did you enjoy that?
It was something.
I'm magical, Anna. I'll tell you what.
I had Reddick, who finished sixth. Peyton, of course, had Blaney, who was just one spot shy. Logan takes Logano for the final race.
Yeah, it's all right. And they won me dinner with Ryan Hill next week, and he's a good looking dude.
There you go.
So I could be doing a lot worse. AJ says, shout out to Tyler Lawler for winning the former Racing Refresh Fantasy League Championship. Yes, he did. Tyler Lawler has scratched and clawed his way, folks. Give it up. Give it up to the all-around badass Tyler Lawler.
There he is. I will also say, in my own fantasy league, I lost. And I led pretty much the entire season and lost it to my significant other, Sheila. She's in it begrudgingly. I forced her to be in it, and she took home the trophy this year. So
well,
very upsetting.
tough break there, buddy. Tough break. Anywho, with that, look, it's been a great episode. It's been a great season, but every great episode and season must come to an end. So with that, it's time for a little closing time.
Love it.
All right. Producer Peggy, give me some final words for the 2024.
Excuse me. I am still very sad. But as you said, another year comes around.
Very quickly.
And I have faith that odd year Logano will fail, and Ryan Blaney will win again. It's been a great season.
Boy, you should tell your face.
And also, happy Veterans Day.
Mm-hmm. Or as we call it up here in Canada, we call it Remembrance Day, but it's basically the same.
I kind of like that term better. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Ryan Hills is a great show, guys. Great season again. Ryan, thank you for tuning in. Sincerely, we appreciate it so, so much. You, Freddie, and everybody else has just been consistently coming on in here. Matt Marr as well. It's just great hanging out with you guys most Mondays and shooting the breeze on this thing we all love. Adam Carabine, give me some final words as we close it out.
Yeah, it's been a somewhat controversy-filled season. There's been lots of interesting stories, but at the end of the day, really, we're watching NASCAR and we're enjoying it, and it's fun. You know, when we have controversy or big things to talk about on Monday afternoons, evenings, here on Racing Refresh Happy Hour, it's you could be doing worse, right? So it's been great to continue through the season with you guys. Looking forward to already getting the next season started. We've got some off-season plans coming up, but we'll let you know those as they materialize. And this could be our last live show of the year, but you know, maybe there's some really huge news and we feel the need to come on and say hi, and maybe we'll pop by a little later and say hello to you all. So thanks everyone for tuning in throughout the season. And yeah, we'll be back again in the early winter, I guess, to break it all down again starting next year.
As the early winter gives way to spring and Mike Joy starts warming up the vocal cords, I'm getting ready already. AJ, thank you, brother. Safe travels out west. Mm-hmm. Of course, you're already out west, so safe drive. Hope it goes well, you know, as you're staring at brake lights. Gridlock. Mm-hmm. So, yes, as the winter gives way to spring, and we'll do it again. Just 83 days until the clash at Bowman Gray, ladies and gentlemen. But who's counting?
It's going to go by fast.
It'll go by quicker than a hiccup, no doubt about that. Look, it's been a great season. Producer Peggy's continued to tolerate me somehow. We've made it another year. Thanks for loving me, Pete. Adam, thanks for loving me, too. And on a personal moment here, just thanks all of you for tuning in and helping support the show. We've had a lot of growth this year, especially on the YouTube front, and we're really, really grateful for that. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Be so kind and like it and share it if you would. We greatly appreciate it. And look, I have to end it in a particular way, don't I? Talking about a certain thing I really enjoy. The 75th year of petty racing didn't go like we'd like. So by God, let's hope the 76 goes a lot damn better. Wouldn't you agree with that, folks? Come on now. With that, we hope.
I'm hearing a chorus of yeses. Yes. Yes.
It's all the voices in my head. With that, we love you. We need you. We couldn't dare do it without you. And until next time, whenever that may be, whether that's this year or early in 25, until then, we'll see you at the next track.